This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. If you have dreamed of owning a property in Israel, close to the sea or close to the center of Tel Aviv, now is your chance to make it a reality. The Blue Agency is happy to announce that they are in South Africa to discuss new property opportunities in Israel. For a private meeting with Barry Cohen to discuss your Israeli property or any Israeli property needs, WhatsApp him on 076-577-2000. That's 076-577-2000. The Blue Agency. Your Israeli property is in good hands.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, we're of course heading into the Purim weekend, and it is indeed a weekend. It's a slightly complicated Purim because of the fact that it falls over the weekend, but it's very noticeable in Israel when we get towards Purim because the kids are all dressing up, and it's traditional in Israeli schools to have a week of dressing up before Purim actually begins, every day with a different theme. I think today is probably going to be freestyle, but it's been very interesting to see the various dressing up themes that are going on. And it's a nice little distraction away from the realities of what's happening, much more serious things going on in our country. But we are looking forward to some good weather over Purim, so at least that will be a good thing. And just another strange little unrelated story that I saw when I read this week is about the fact that two pizza restaurants in Israel have won awards for being amongst the best pizza restaurants in the world. And the restaurant La Piedra in Jerusalem won the top spot for being the best kosher pizza in the world, which I think is not a very difficult competition, but also got 37th place in the overall ranking for the best pizza in the Asia-Pacific region. And the pizza restaurant from Haifa, Neapolitan, actually managed to get 25th place in the Asia-Pacific region for the best pizza in the area. So those people who think that you're coming to Israel to eat falafel and to eat hummus and to eat traditional Middle Eastern food might be a little surprised to find that you can also get some good pizzas here too. And interestingly, when the awards were given, the representative of one of the restaurants wore an orange cap to identify with the Bibas family, that orange color that's now become so prevalent and so identifiable everywhere that you go. He was on the stage with his orange cap. But just onto more serious things, one of the topics that we haven't really discussed at all, because I'm not sure that it's all that relevant to this little corner, but of course there is a lot of drama going on between Russia and Ukraine, and of course the Trump administration's involvement and some of the things that have gone down, particularly the Trump administration's attitude towards Ukraine, which has come to some as being quite a surprise, given that Ukraine is a has a democratically elected government and that its territory was invaded by Russia. And I don't think that there's any doubt about that. And it seems as if though President Trump is a little ambivalent about what his true view is on whether Ukraine should be protected or not. But I think the one thing that is very relevant for Israel, of course, the fact that the Trump administration right now is very supportive of Israel. And when we have a look and see how they've not supported Ukraine, and how the views seem to have changed so dramatically, I think it just leaves a seed of doubt in one's mind about what may transpire in the future with the Trump administration's support of Israel. And if something small potentially goes wrong, or if you somehow cross a line, you could fall out on the wrong side of the Trump administration. And that fallout has quite significant consequences. It also leads us to wonder how the relationship between the US and Europe is doing, given that the Europeans seem to be very supportive of Ukraine, and how that impacts on NATO. And I think that where NATO security is concerned, Israel does have an interest, even though Israel is not a member of NATO, but I think there is a significant interest to ensure that NATO remains strong and united. And right now, I'm not sure that it's looking like that.
Absolutely. I'd love your thoughts on that. 0618951019. Does the way that Donald Trump has dealt and is dealing with Ukraine and Russia, does that make you a little bit nervous or a little bit insecure when it comes to Israel? Hostage release talks continue in Qatar. That's against the backdrop of increasing military tension. So what's the view of Israeli public on this? Where is Israeli society on these negotiations?
Well, we continue to have public demonstrations, mostly orchestrated by hostage families and with full justification, which are demonstrating in favor of continued ceasefire and release of hostages, coming to an agreement almost at any price about the release of hostages. And so I think that the Israeli public right now is saying, look, if we can somehow engineer the release of the hostages in some way, shape or form, and even if we are being called upon to pay the sort of price that we've paid up until now, and maybe even a higher price, but we can get hostages home, I think most Israelis would support that particular view. In other words, bring people home almost at any price, but as long as there is a potential deal to be done, which may have a very high cost involved, bring hostages home. I think that is really the view, the prevalent view of the majority of Israelis. Not everybody, though, goes along with that view. And it's interesting that one of the released hostages, Omer Weingarten, has been speaking for the first time about his captivity. And one of the comments that he made was that every time truce talks between Hamas and Israel broke down, he was beaten. And so it makes us wonder how all of this that's playing out here now and in Qatar between Israel and Hamas and the various parties who are involved in trying to broker a deal, how that is being relayed and how it's being actioned in Gaza, particularly with regard to our hostages. And there is a question as to whether we need to be a little bit more careful about what we do and what we say and how we do and we say things in order to somehow try to preserve the life in Gaza, because everything that happens here seems to have a massive impact on what's going on in Gaza right now.
It was actually, it was interesting.
We know that...
Sorry, carry on.
I was just going to say that we know that Steve Witkoff is now in Doha and is negotiating, but we don't know of any real deal that's on the table that we might be getting nearer to release our hostages. And so people are saying, well, if we're not going to get a deal to release the hostages, then we need to take some further action. There need to be consequences for that. And that is really the split of the Israeli public. And I'm guessing that the listeners, many of the listeners would have a similar view to that.
Yeah, it is fascinating. I wouldn't have thought that the hostages were so tuned into the news, but almost everyone has made some kind of a comment about how much they knew, they got to know whilst they were there somehow.
I think it's a little bit about what they knew, but I think it's more about what the captors know. As people who are holding them, the guards, the people who are there, people who are the Hamas representatives in their lives at that time. And when those people get news, and they obviously are tuned into the news, they come and take it out on the hostages. And we heard the same from Eli Sharabi, who said that his ribs were broken and then he struggled to breathe for a month because of the fact that the house of one of the captors was damaged or bombed by the IDF. And so when that happened, he was beaten and kicked and his ribs were broken. And Omer Weingarten has said the same. Omer also said that he was held for 200 days on his own in a cell. He also said that. And so I don't know how much he might have been able to get from the news during that period of time. But it seems as if the captors certainly play things out very, very visibly against our hostages as political developments come and go.
Very, very interesting. Israel's High Court of Justice has refused to order the government to reconnect the electricity supply in Gaza. How did this play out?
So I think the first point is that we have a democratic system, and that when the government makes a decision, even a decision in a war zone, in order to somehow try to push forward the prospect of release of Israeli citizens held captive in Gaza, or to try somehow to further a war agenda, the High Court is available to listen to cases that are being brought even on these government decisions. So I think that that is the first and very important point that we need to make, that this is a subject of discussion for the High Court of Justice, which they heard yesterday. Mm-hmm. The High Court decided in this particular instance that they didn't want to intervene with the government's decision to cut off electricity. And there was also discussion about water in this case. And the High Court, the judges in the High Court decided that they didn't want to intervene in the government's decision, but did say that the government needs to include the issue of the supply of electricity and water when they are considered the overall issue of humanitarian aid to Gaza. So to the extent that they might be forced to re-initiate the flow of aid going into Gaza, that particular action should somehow be linked to the supply of electricity and water without ordering the government right now, at least, to renew the supply of electricity and water to Gaza. And this High Court was actually called upon even to issue a temporary injunction against the Israeli government to force them somehow to reconnect the supply of water and electricity to Gaza. But as I say, the government, the High Court decided and ruled that this should be part of the overall package of humanitarian aid that is being supplied to Gaza. So even though the High Court is willing to listen to these cases and potentially make rulings on it, I think the message that we're getting from the High Court here is that they are not really in a position to intervene where tactical decisions are being taken, even if it has a humanitarian consequence. But these tactical decisions are not really things that the High Court wants to make any decision about and force the government's hand one way or the other.
Yeah, it's an interesting talking point, because it really bothers people that when they think about it. But the reality is, this is a real war situation, and Hamas has not released all the hostages. It's actually really as simple as that. Israel and Lebanon have entered into negotiations on land borders. What's the significance of this?
Well, I think that the timing is massively significant, because Israel, the IDF, was due to have withdrawn completely from Lebanon following the war that was waged against Hezbollah. And up until now, even though those dates have come and gone, there is still a fairly significant IDF presence in five particular locations around Lebanon, which are considered to be critical crossing points, either for the flow of arms and ammunition into Hezbollah, or potentially other critical issues, critical things that are taking place in those areas. So the IDF have maintained their position in five critical areas, and they've come under a lot of criticism, and indeed the Lebanese government has come under a lot of criticism for allowing that to persist, for allowing the IDF to be there. Having said that, and even though that situation continues right now, Israel and Lebanon nevertheless decided yesterday to open negotiations in order to somehow delineate the border more accurately between Israel and Lebanon. There have, for a number of years, been a few places where there is disagreement over the land borders and the demarcation of the border between Israel and Lebanon. And so with the U.S. also now acting as a negotiator, as a go-between, between the two parties, the Israeli government and the Lebanese government willingly, in even under these circumstances, have decided to enter into those negotiations. So I think the timing is very critical. And it's interesting as well that Israel agreed as a gesture of goodwill to the new Lebanese president that to release five Lebanese detainees who are being held by Israel. We don't know exactly who they are and whether indeed they were belonging to Hezbollah in some way or other. Having said all of that, these five detainees, have been released. And this is, as I say, a special gesture to the new Lebanese president. And he seems to be the one who's pulling the strings in order to somehow try and create a closer relationship between Israel and Lebanon, the new Lebanese government that's now in office. Let's not forget that the new Lebanese prime minister is the same person who sat on the panel of judges at the International Court of Justice in The Hague. He, in fact, took over as the head of the panel of judges, and we heard some of the decisions that he handed down. He is now the new prime minister in Lebanon, and so he's not a friend of Israel, but it seems as if though the president, Joseph Ayun, is more of a friend and more willing to somehow enter into some discussions with Israel to try somehow to create a closer relationship. So I think that this action, and particularly the timing of this action, is very significant, and I hope that somehow this is the Lebanese government taking control of the situation and saying, we are setting Hezbollah to one side and we're going to do what we think is right rather than pander to their demands.
Anthony Rock, thank you. As always, we can catch Anthony tomorrow morning, 7:45, for the Israel Report.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. If you have dreamed of owning a property in Israel, close to the sea or close to the center of Tel Aviv, now is your chance to make it a reality. The Blue Agency is happy to announce that they are in South Africa to discuss new property opportunities in Israel. For a private meeting with Barry Cohen to discuss your Israeli property or any Israeli property needs, WhatsApp him on 076-577-2000. That's 076-577-2000. The Blue Agency, your Israeli property, is in good hands.